Well, I desire your prayers. I want to look into the scriptures for a little bit. Trust the Lord to bless these few moments that we spend together looking into His Word. There are things that God has designed and ordained for us that are to bring reward to us. Sometimes I wonder why it has to be the way it is. You spend hours in a day, a real hot, humid, muggy day, working outside, soaking your clothes with sweat. Take a break, go sit under a shade tree for a little bit to get a little respite from the heat. Maybe there's a breeze, maybe there's not. You'd like a little cool drink of water and try to refresh and rejuvenate yourself a little bit. And then you get up and go back and work a little while longer. And in the time of doing that, there's probably, if you're like me, a lot of things across your mind about why is it so hot? Why do I have to do this in the heat? Why is it necessary to have to work like this? And I'm reminded of the scripture there in the beginning of our Bibles that talks about the curse that fell after the transgression, where the Lord said, by the sweat of your brow, you'll earn your bread. And He said that the earth is going to bring forth briars and thistles. Now, I'm not familiar so much with the territory up here, but I know down home if we don't take care of the fence rows and things like that, the hedges will take it over, and it doesn't take long for it to happen. And I believe, though, that the Lord expected there to be a reward for work. Because when He created Adam, He placed him in the garden. I believe it says there in that second chapter of the book of Genesis. Maybe we'll look at it. Second chapter and verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now maybe we have this idea that man didn't have to do anything but just sit back in leisure. Because everything was perfect around him. It was a perfect environment. But the scripture says that He placed man in the garden to dress it and to keep it. Now, I don't know what that conjures in your mind, but it does in mine, images of work. Work, exercise. I don't know if it meant that there were things that he had to go out and pull up weeds. I don't know what all that meant, if he had to prune it. And tend to, I don't know what all, but he had to dress it and to keep it. He had a responsibility to keep order and maintain the garden. Whatever that entailed, we're not privy to all the information. But I believe that the Lord did that because there was reward in it. When He was able to look out and see the fruit of His labors, to see that, all right, I've pruned the blueberries today. And after a while, I see that there are more blossoms on the blueberry bushes than there were last time because I pruned them. Down home, there's used to be a peach orchard northeast of my place for a few miles. I remember going down the road one day looking at that peach orchard and could see all the peaches on the trees. It's a beautiful sight to behold. And they went in and harvested those peaches. And it wasn't too long after that I drove by and I saw what was going on out there, and it looked to me like somebody had come in to prune those trees, and in my mind it looked like they had been destroyed. And I thought, when the one who owns this orchard sees this, he's gonna have a time. But in my lack of understanding and lack of knowledge about it, that's exactly what He wanted. He wanted them cut back and pruned back. It looked to me like there wasn't going to be any way for them to bear fruit next year. But next year came by and I drove by and there were lots of blossoms on those trees and produced peaches. And there's a reward in the labor. There's a reward in carrying through and following through with the responsibility that the Lord has for us to do. So we have the responsibility, you, I have the responsibility to take care of the things that God has put at our disposal, in our hands. And I'm reminded of the scripture that says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And all the things that the Lord has put into our hands, He requires us to have stewardship over them and to be responsible and faithful in our stewardship with the things the Lord has given to us. And I believe the Lord will hold us, every one of us, He's going to hold us accountable for those things, whatever they may be. The special talent or gift that the Lord has given to you, that He's going to require us to be good stewards of that gift and how we use that gift, how we manage that gift. And if we use it in a way that is in accordance to the divine will, then there is a reward. And I'm sure that you've been in the place where you have just been so tired and it's been so hot, so to speak, and the humidity has been high and you have sweat running off the end of your nose and you wonder why is it like this? But then when you look at the fruit of your labors and you realize what's been accomplished, there is a reward. Maybe in working with a situation, maybe you get a call. Someone needs prayer. Maybe someone needs some help. And you try to go and do your part, what you can for them. And you're tired, you're worn, you're on the verge of being exhausted yourself. But after it's all said and done, and you're back home or you're back in your vehicle and you're going down the road, the Lord has a special blessing to give to you above and beyond what you could ever design or desire or think. And there is a reward. There is a reward that comes from the Lord for tending those things that He has put at our disposal. Well, I'm not so much interested at just the work and the things that we have around us. So I'd like to look in the book of Matthew and read a passage, if you'll allow me. Well, before we do that, let's look at Philippians chapter 2. I'd like to read two verses here, beginning with verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Now let's leave that one for just a moment and go to the book of Matthew chapter 25. And we'll read a parable from the Lord. Matthew 25, verse 14 beginning. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now this scripture says this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is how you liken it. This is how you would reckon it. "As a man traveling into a far country, called his servants, delivered them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so, he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Serious business, is it not? The Lord said to the one that he had given the 5 and the one he had given 2 who had taken some industry and worked with whatever it was the Lord had given to them, and the one gained 5 more beside the 5 he gained. The other gained 2 more beside the 2 that he was given. And when the Lord, the Master, came and spoke with them and reckoned with them, and they gave their report to him, he said, well done. Now this is an indication to me that there was some industry, there was some exercise, there was some effort put forth with those things that the Lord had put at their hands. They didn't just sit down with it, they weren't lazy with it. They actually took the thing that the Lord had presented them with and they made use of it to their benefit. They did what they could with those things, and they worked with them, the one that buried his, but the others used it and took advantage of it and worked with it. I don't know all the resource that they had, but whatever it was, the Lord commended them and he said, well done. To me, that's an indication of an accomplishment of work. And when the job was done, when you have done this, the Lord looks at it and says, that was a good job. Have you ever felt this good feeling when someone pays you a compliment? Maybe you have spent the day working. Maybe you have done the sweat and the toil all day long. And maybe you have skint some hide off of your knuckles. And maybe you have had the sweat dripping off the end of your nose. And you've had to push your glasses up so many times during the day because their face is so wet they keep sliding down. Yes, we deal with that too. And yes, it's a challenge, isn't it? A trial sometimes. But to be able to accomplish the task and be done with it and look back at it and have the recognition, not that we look for it, but isn't it nice to be able to have some recognition and say, you did a good job. You did a good job. I think it's important for us to recognize someone when they've done a good job, to just go to them and say, thank you. You did a good job. I appreciate your efforts and what you've done here. Because everyone likes to be able to feel that they're worth something, and for us to do our part in trying to help our fellow man. Maybe that's one of the talents the Lord has given. But he says to them, well done. That's to me an indication of accomplishment. But to the one that took the Lord's talent, he said, I buried it. I hid it. The Lord had some strong words to that man. Just think of it. Think of what took place. You gave me 1, and I was afraid to do anything with it, so I just went and dug a hole and buried it. And that's where, he didn't even say, I'll go get it, here it is. He said, there you have that is yours. And the Lord, hearing the response of that servant, said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Now remember, the Lord said the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. Here's the picture. This is what he wanted. Here's the picture. Look at the picture that I'm painting for you. This is what I want you to see, the Lord said. And this word, slothful. And when you look at the Greek word, it's tardy. Tardy. Irksome. Indolent. Inactive. Idle. None of those things are in accord with the Word of God, are they? Now, when the Lord said to Adam and Eve, he put them there to dress and to keep the garden. Well, there to be some type of reward for work that's accomplished. Irksome means wearisome, tedious, disagreeable. Indolent means free from toil, indulging in ease. You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I was coming back to reckon. You knew that I had something in mind. You knew that I had given something to you and was going to come back and reckon with you over it. You knew that was going to be the case. And now you're telling me that you don't even have the courtesy to bring to me that was mine own. You're just going to tell me, there it is. If you want it, go get it. Wearisome, irksome, indolent, lazy, slothful, wicked. All of those descriptive terms for that wicked and slothful servant. Folks, I tell you, the Lord is going to look at you and me about the things that He has put into our disposal and our care, and He's going to hold us accountable for those things. Now, in the book of Luke 14, in 26, very familiar scripture. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I've told the folks down home a little story of a scene in my mind. I did a lot of, my work was a lot of running around on the highways and the roads delivering packages, and most of my work was in rural areas. And I remember going down this highway and seeing a man that had formed up a slab and poured a slab out and had materials hauled in and put up the walls and had it all framed up, and progress stopped. And I kept noticing weeks and weeks and weeks and months, a year would drag on, and nothing else was ever done. And there finally came a time to where it was not worth working with anymore. The materials were twisted and warped and grayed and rotted. So it all had to be, at some point, torn down. There was nothing there but the slab. And there it was some time later, I don't know, maybe another year, started the process again. Hauled materials in and framed up everything up and started working on that, see the crews out there working. He got to that point. Maybe they got some rafters and joists up, and it stopped. And that's just the way it sat for a year or longer, until the same process happened. Things started twisting and warping and graying and rotting, and it wasn't worth dealing with and wasn't worth working on anymore. And all of it had to be torn down. And all the while, all around it, weeds are growing up. Bushes are growing up, hedges are growing up, and it's looking more and more like an unkempt property and nothing being done with it. Folks, this thing happened not once, not twice, but about three times that I can remember. They'd frame it all up, get the ceiling joists and the rafters up, ready for it to be sealed in, closed in, roof put on, and just stop. Today, as you drive by there, you can't even really recognize where the slab might even have been. I'd have to go out there and really walk around and hunt for it to try to find it today. This man began to build but wasn't able to finish. What's the reason for that? Why? I don't know all the reasons. I don't know if there was financial, health. I don't know all the reasons for that. But the scripture says, which of you who starts to do a project, you start to, and you sit down first and think, all right, am I able to carry this through to completion? Now, again, we're not so much concerned about your building your house, not so much concerned about finishing mowing your grass, concerned about what the Lord said, well done, thou faithful servant. The things I have committed to you, you have handled them well. You've done well with them. Well done. But the Lord gives us some very clear scriptures and things that he was telling us about, some examples to look at to understand that there is responsibility that goes with those things he's put at our disposal. Now I want to go back to this scripture in Philippians 2 and 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Many times people will use this little scripture as an excuse to work out their salvation. To just day in, day out, work it out. Just form, shape, mold. And I'm not going to say that that's not an application of this scripture. However, I think that it does have a little deeper meaning than just the day in and day out little details of what you're going to put into or take out of your individual life to have your salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's a qualifier. Work it out, yes. But you do it with fear and trembling, and I will add, before the Lord. Before the Lord. That you work it out with fear and trembling before God. That you consider all of the things that we've just heard in the book of Luke and in all the answers that the Lord has given to us about the responsibility and what He's going to give to us, these talents and the things that we do with these talents and how we're to follow through with those things. We want to hear the Lord say, well done. When we come to the end, when we're finished with the project, we want to hear Him say, well done. You've done a good job. You've taken the materials that I have given to you, and you have done a good job putting it all in the proper framework. And now I look at what you've done, and the structure is complete. Well done. Well done, now good and faithful servant. Now this phrase, work out, when you look into the Greek, it's speaking of this, to work fully. That is to accomplish, to finish, to fashion. Work out your own salvation. Not so much that we look to just work it out in increments day in and day out, but that we look to work it out to completion, to the finished product. When we come to the end of the journey, when we come to the end of the thing, we want to have taken those materials that the Lord has put in our hands, the things, the talents, whatever they may be, those things that God has put in our hands, and we want to finish the project. We want to finish the work. Now, we can take it where we can simplify it where we say we're going to work out my own salvation. And you know as well as I do, that individuals will take this scripture and application of this scripture and make excuse for things that they will allow or disallow in their lives. What they will take from the Lord as being important and essential to their lives, or they will also, the things that they can reject, because I am working out my salvation. It's like I've got the wrench, I've got the screwdriver, I've got the nuts and the bolts, and I think this is the screw that I need. So I'm going to work it out. I'm going to work it, little individual details. Maybe you've heard me comment about it, but I'm not a man that's good with hammers and nails and boards. I know my limitations there. When my children were young, they wanted a house for their cat. So they asked Daddy to build a cat house. I wish I could show you a picture of the cat house. It was the most hideous looking structure. Now, I will tell you what this man did to try to build a cat house. I took a handsaw and some 2x4s. 2x4s for a cat house. And some nails. And I wasn't too worried about a square or a level. So you can imagine how that worked out. Because when I got it all put together, my children looked at that and they were less than impressed. Oh, it was sturdy enough. It was far from square. And if you had tried to get a cat to go in it, they have a mind of their own anyway, it would have been basically indestructible as a cat house. But it was hideous. It wasn't something that I would want anyone else to see. The truth of the matter is, I never finished it. Because I got pretty discouraged about it when they looked at it and they were less than impressed. And I knew, I don't have those abilities. I think we have to recognize our limitations at times. It's time to call somebody else to build a cat house. But if I choose to take those materials, if you will, the things that I think need to be put into my structure, how's it going to look? Out of square, out of plumb, out of line, not fit for the job that it's supposed to accomplish, overdone, underdone, all of those kinds of things. The Lord says through His Word to work out our salvation. As we're working out our salvation, remembering that we're working it to the end, to a completed structure. Not just not just today, not just yesterday, but I'm using the things that the Lord has given me to work through the whole process to come to a completed structure where the Lord can come back to me and say, those components that I gave you, that I put in your life, the things that I put in your path, the testimonies, the experiences, the trials, the sickness, the difficulties, the blessings, whatever those things may be that I gave to you to work with, those talents, if you will, I put in your hands and I said, work out. Take it to completion. Sit down. Think about it. Consider it. Are you able to follow through? Are you able to go to the end with it? The Lord wants us to reckon with Him. He's going to come back to reckon with us with those things He's put in our disposal. And we desperately want to hear Him say, well done. Well done. Now in the 13th verse, it says, for it is God which worketh in you. It is God that worketh in you. I am thankful for that. Because the Scripture also tells me that my own righteousness is as filthy rags. And if I try to incorporate all of my thoughts, my ideas, my opinions in all of it, I am very likely to have a structure that's not going to be successful. And when the Lord comes back, He's not likely to say, well done. He's very likely to say, you wicked and you slothful servant. I gave you these things. I put all of these things in your life, in your path, at your disposal. I gave you the ability. I gave you the principles. I told you what you needed to do with them. You made the choice to disregard those things. And now you're going to tell me that if I want them, they're over there. Thou wicked and slothful servant. Indolent, irksome, wearisome, tedious, disagreeable, free from toil, indulging in ease. Oh, Lord, help us. Now, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The good pleasure of the Lord, of course, is for us to work out our own salvation to completion. Not just dealing with these little intricate details day in and day out, although we have to work with some of that, but remembering that working out our salvation doesn't necessarily mean that I just have to, I cast this aside, I'm going to incorporate this. The whole picture, folks, is going to have to build a solid, stable, substantial structure that'll stand all the way to the end that my Lord will accept when I come to the end of the journey. So the blessing is this. It is God which worketh in you. And this word which worketh, this worketh, energio. And this is what the Lord does with us, folks. It's so easy for us to take these little scriptures and we read the words and the English words that are translated to us from the Greek. I know the translators do the best they can with these things. But sometimes that old Greek language has a much deeper explanation of these words if we'll just take a little time to dig into it. And here's what it says. It is God which worketh in you. It is God who is being active in you. It is God who is being efficient in you. It is God who is being effectual in you. And being mighty in you. and he is working effectually in you. It is God who is being active, efficient, effectual, mighty, working in you. Because to do will and to do of his good pleasure. It is the Lord working in us to help us to understand, to comprehend, to know how to put the things in their proper place so that when he comes back, there is a structure that is built. The work that we have done, remember, we have reward in work. We're not to be lazy, slothful. The Lord put man in the garden and he said, dress it and keep it. He wasn't put there just to sit down and say, oh, what a beautiful place this is. No doubt it was. But he had responsibility to tend that garden. And with that came the reward. And with the Lord giving us beautiful things in salvation, beautiful gifts, understanding, enlightenment, all of those things that the Lord brings across our path to help us to find these things, these jewels of gold, these nuggets, these pearls along the way, to put in our structure so that when we come to the end of the journey, the Lord looks at it all and says, well done, thou faithful servant. Well done. You've accomplished the task. You put it together. I gave you these things, and you were faithful with it. It is God which worketh in you, God being efficient, being effectual in our lives. Every one of us, the Lord, working in our lives. And we have the responsibility then to take those things and put them in their proper place. Again, when the Lord said, well done, he was pleased with what he saw that these servants had done. Now, I'm going to fast forward several years. My wife likes to look at Pinterest. How many of you guys like Pinterest? You get any projects off of Pinterest? You get a picture, she says, I'd like to have one of these. And many of the things that I have seen requires hammers and nails and screws and boards. You know what? I've been willing to tackle some of that. Yes, I have to measure not once, not twice, not three times. I have to measure and I have to square and I have to level and I have to unscrew. And I have to pry apart, and I have to put back together from a different perspective to try to make it look like the picture. But I'm willing to try. I'm willing to do it. And the truth of the matter is, a couple of projects have turned out pretty neat. I say so myself. But the Lord is wanting to use... He's wanting us to be willing. The scripture says the willing and the obedient will eat the good of the land. To be willing to take those things that the Lord, to be willing to accept the whole ball of wax, if you will. Use it all. And when the Lord comes back and he can look on our lives and he can look at the things, the trials, the difficulties we've had, the blessings we've had, the people he's put in our lives, those who have been our instructors, those that have been our counselors, those that have been the tares, those that have been the briars and the thorns and the thistles, all of that. The Lord wants us to use all of that, to allow all of that to help us to understand how to put this structure together. So when he comes back, he can look at it and say, well done. What a blessing it will be, folks, for the Lord to look you in the face, to look at you and the things you faced in your life, the things that you have had to work with, all the components of it, to come to you and you stand before him and he says, well done. Well done. Oh, I put this trial across your path. And rather than you coming under it, rather than you getting bitter with it, and rather than you being slothful and indolent and wearisome with it, you were willing to take that thing and pray and call on my name and let me turn that thing. As the song says, he will turn what seems to harm me into everlasting joy. To be able to come to the Lord at the end of the journey with all of those things and for him to say to you and to you and to you, well done. Oh, isn't it rewarding to have a job, a task set before you, and you know it's difficult. You know it's going to take some effort and some energy. And when it's all said and done, someone comes to you and says, "You did a good job. That turned out nice." Oh, how much more it's going to be for the Lord, the Master God of all creation, to stand. We stand before Him with all of those things that we have in life, and for Him to say, "Well done. You did a good job. You took it all. You worked with it. You spent the time to work with it all. You prayed about it. You brought it before me. And when the things didn't fit like you thought they should fit, you came to me and we worked it all out. Well done." Oh, folks, there's no shame. There's no shame in taking a project, something that comes to you, and you maybe have a task put before you, and you go to the one who has said it before you and say, "I'm sorry. I don't understand how to do this. I'm not sure what to do." Call on somebody for help. Ask someone that knows, someone who's been down that. Ask for help. Well done, well done, well done, thou faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. God bless each one. Let's use the things that God has put in our disposal for our spiritual benefit, so that when it's all finished at the end of the journey, we didn't just start off, as the Scripture says, you did run well. You did run well. But what hindered you that you didn't finish? You started off good. But what hindered you that you couldn't finish the race? You started putting the walls up and everything was good and square and solid, but you turned around and walked away from it and left it. And you came back a few years later and you started again and you turned around and you walked and left it. Oh, no, the Lord wants us to carry it through to a completion. And when it's all finished, well done. Amen.